And boys, baseball action last night. Class 1A District's semifinal round games held last night in a game here on KJAN. It was Exira EHK defeating CAM 11-0. That game ending in five innings in District 14 last night. Freshman pitcher Tyler Jacobson gave up only three hits in posting the win for Exira EHK last night. CAM helped out the Spartans with six errors committed in the ballgame. As the Cougars end their season with a 16-6 record, Exira EHK moves on to the district final with a 21-3 record. Next up, they'll play Saturday night against Coon Rapids Bayard. The Crusaders beat Audubon 4-0 in the other District 14 semifinal last night. In District 15, in a semifinal, it was Logan Magnolia defeating Walnut 10-0, as Walnut able to pound out nine hits in what turned out to be their final game ever, as their programs merge with AHST next year. The Warriors unable to dent the plate, though, last night. Logan Magnolia pounding out 15 hits in posting that win, as Walnut ends their season with a 15-7 record. Also last night in District 15, it was St. Albert knocking out AHST by a final of 4-0. In other district semifinals, in District 16, Sydney beat Nishnabotna 6-4, Trainer over East Mills in five innings, 14-2. In District 13, Earlham beat Corning in five innings, 11-0, while Van Meter posts a 3-1 win over Madrid last night. All those winners moving on to the district finals. District semifinals set for tonight in Class 3A boys baseball, as the 3A teams will reach the postseason now tonight. We'll have a game for you late this afternoon here on KJAN, as the Denison Monarchs will host the District 15 semifinals in Class 3A tonight. The doubleheader in Denison features Carroll and Atlantic in a 5 o'clock matchup. We'll have that game for you live tonight on KJAN. Carroll coming in with a mark of 17-13 on the season. The Trojans are 19-10 on the year, looking for that 20th win of the season. They can pick that up tonight in a key time, hoping to avenge a regular season loss against the Tigers. Again, we'll have that game for you live tonight here on KJAN and on the web at KJAN.com. You can catch that contest starting at 4:45 this afternoon. That's when we're on the air with the pregame. 5 o'clock is first pitch tonight from Denison. Also tonight at Denison, the second game has Denison facing Sergeant Bluff Luton. That's at 7 o'clock tonight, and we'll just broadcast that first game for you this evening. Also at Glenwood tonight, they'll host a doubleheader in District 16 as Harlan plays Red Oak in the opener at 5 o'clock. Glenwood will play Creston in the second game at 7. Class 4A Substate first round games also scheduled for tonight in Substate number 8. Thomas Jefferson will play at Waukee. Lewis Central plays at West Des Moines Valley, while Abraham Lincoln will play Des Moines East at Des Moines Hoover High School tonight. Those games all getting underway at 7 o'clock this evening. Well, the Mets are in contention for a playoff berth despite having the fifth worst fielding percentage in the majors and the worst bullpen ERA. And now they've learned they could be spending the rest of the season without one of their starting pitchers. Dylan Gee will have surgery today in St. Louis to replace a portion of a damaged artery in his pitching shoulder. The right-hander was released from a New York hospital Wednesday after undergoing a procedure to break up a blood clot in the shoulder. Gee is 6-7 with a 4.10 earned run average this season and compiled a 3 earned run average in 60 innings over his last 9 starts. Also in the majors, Braves manager Freddy Gonzalez says Ben Sheets will pitch Sunday against the Mets, his first major league start in almost 2 years. The former Brewers ace was signed to a minor league contract on July 1st and recorded a 5.06 ERA in 2 starts for AA Mississippi. Sheets is 90-92 with a 3.79 earned run average in 241 career major league starts. Red Sox manager Bobby Valentine says all signs point to outfielder Jacoby Ellsbury being ready to start a 3-game series at Tampa Bay beginning tomorrow. Ellsbury has been out since hurting his right shoulder on April 13th while trying to break up a double play. He was the runner-up in the AL MVP voting last season. Blue Jays first baseman Edwin Encarnacion has signed a 3-year, $27 million contract that begins next season. The 29-year-old Dominican native is batting .295 and is tied for fourth among all American leaguers with 23 home runs. He's also fifth in the league with a .595 slugging average and seventh with 58 runs batted in. I'll have more sports after this timeout.
In today's world, our cell phones have become a vital part of our lives. Whether it's staying in touch with loved ones or updating our status on Facebook, make sure you have the best cell phone coverage by signing up with Verizon Wireless at White Pole Road Sailor. Hi, this is Janet. If you're looking to stay up to date on the latest in smartphones, or you just want a basic cell phone that's easy to use, our wide variety is sure to fit your needs. Or if you're on the go, don't forget about our hands-free Blue Parrot headsets. At White Pole Road Sailor, we're a locally owned Verizon wireless provider. Dean Stormer and I have over 20 years of experience, and we'd be glad to walk you through the latest in cell phone technology, like the new talk-to-text feature. Or if you need a reliable locksmith, Wayne Johnson does residential and commercial work. White Pole Road Sailor in Anita, open Monday through Friday from 7:30 to 6 and on Saturday, 8 to noon. Give us a call at 712-762-3022 or come see us at White Pole Road Sailor, 764 Main Street in Anita.
Well, there were very few happy faces in Happy Valley Thursday after former FBI Director and Federal Judge Louis Freeh released his 267-page report on the Penn State sexual molestation scandal. That report says former head coach Joe Paterno and other top school officials buried child sexual abuse allegations against Jerry Sandusky more than a decade ago to avoid bad publicity. Freeh was hired by the university's trustees to investigate and called the behavior by Paterno, ex-president Graham Spanier, athletic director Tim Curley, and former senior vice president Gary Schultz callous and shocking. Freeh also determined that Paterno was an integral part of the school's decision to conceal Sandusky's behavior and that his firing was justified. The findings could have consequences for the criminal case against Curley and Schultz, who are awaiting trial on charges of failing to report abuse and lying to a grand jury. A report also said the trustees failed to exercise oversight and didn't inquire deeply into the matter when they finally learned of it. Sandusky is awaiting sentencing after being convicted of 45 criminal counts. The NCAA expects the school to answer a handful of crucial questions stemming from the child sex abuse case, any of which could result in sanctions against the school. Meanwhile, new football coach Bill O'Brien issued a statement that he was reading the findings to identify changes that needed to be made in his program, and Nike has decided to change the name of the Joe Paterno Child Development Center at the company's headquarters. Penn State alumni are trying to come to grips with the impact an investigation into the school's handling of the Jerry Sandusky scandal will have on Joe Paterno's legacy. A report concludes that the late football coach and other top Penn State officials concealed what they knew about Sandusky's sexual abuse of children. Paterno's family says the finding is impossible to accept. The Paternos say a more realistic conclusion is that many people didn't fully understand or misinterpreted what was happening. Sandusky was convicted last month of molesting 10 boys, but the chairwoman of the university's board of trustees, Karen Peets, says Paterno's 61 years of excellent service to the university is now marred. The Los Angeles Clippers say Blake Griffin has torn cartilage in his left knee and he'll miss the Olympics. Griffin returned to Los Angeles Thursday for medical evaluation after aggravating a left knee injury during the Olympic team's training camp. The Clippers say he'll require arthroscopic surgery but should be ready for their training camp. Anthony Davis was added to the U.S. roster and was in uniform for Thursday's opening exhibition game against a Dominican Republic team led by his college coach John Calipari of Kentucky. Davis shot 3-for-4 and scored 9 points as the Americans thumped the Dominicans 113-59. The number one overall pick is a team alternate after failing to make the 12-man roster. Michael Jordan says there's no way Kobe Bryant and this year's USA Olympic basketball team could have beaten the 1992 Dream Team. Jordan tells the Associated Press that he absolutely laughed when hearing that the Lakers star said Wednesday that the squad training in Las Vegas could take Jordan and the other 10 future Hall of Famers that dominated the rest of the world on the way to the gold medal in Barcelona. Jordan says there's no comparison which team is better and says for Bryant to compare those two teams is not one of the smarter things he ever could have done. The Dream Team won its 6 games by an average of more than 43 points. Well, news that uniforms worn by U.S. Olympic athletes are made in China is drawing strong reaction from leaders of Congress. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid says the Olympic Committee should be ashamed of themselves. House Democrat Leader Nancy Pelosi says she's proud of the nation's Olympic athletes, but they should be wearing uniforms that are made in America. House Speaker John Boehner says simply of the USOC, "You'd think they'd know better." In a statement, the U.S. Olympic Committee defended the choice of designer Ralph Lauren for the clothing at the London Games. The Iowa Supreme Court will decide whether the University of Iowa violated the state's open records law by withholding documents about its investigation of a 2007 assault involving football players. The court plans to rule today in a case that's been closely followed by the news media. The Iowa City Press Citizen filed the lawsuit in 2008 after the university refused to release hundreds of records related to its handling of an assault of a female athlete by former Hawkeyes Abe Satterfield and Cedric Everson. A judge ordered the records released in 2009. The university appealed, contending that they are confidential under federal student privacy law. Both players were convicted of misdemeanor charges. An investigation faulted the university's response, which cost the school's top lawyer and dean of students their jobs. Well, Troy Madison is the first-round leader at the John Deere Classic in Silvis, Illinois. Madison carded 10 birdies and no bogeys for a 10-under 61 that puts him three strokes ahead of Ricky Barnes. Steve Stricker is four shots back as he tries to win the tournament a fourth consecutive time. A 1986 Atlantic High School alum, Chad Pearl, shot a 3-over par 74 in his first round Thursday, carding a 4-over 39 on the front nine and a 1-under 35 on the back nine. This is the third time that Pearl has played in the John Deere Classic on the PGA Tour. Tom Kite has set a USGA Championship 9-hole record, shooting a 28 as he finished at 5-under-65 to take the first-round lead at the U.S. Senior Open. Corey Pavin's sixth birdie on his 17th hole pulled him into a tie atop the leaderboard, but a two-stroke penalty pushed him back to the pack after completing his first round. Bernard Langer and Lance Tenbrock share the second-place spot. They're both minus four after the first round. And coroner's officials say Junior Seau's family has donated some of his brain tissue for research amid questions about whether damage from his football career contributed to his decision to commit suicide. The 43-year-old former NFL linebacker shot himself in the chest at his Oceanside, California home in May, less than 2.5 years after ending his Pro Bowl career. That's Jack of Sports this hour, brought to you by White Pole Road Cellular. Call them at 712-762-3022. They're located on Main Street in Oneida. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.